Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He is Blank, I am Branham, it is Brian behind the glass. It is a Taco Tuesday edition of The Killer Bees. I did partake in Taco Tuesday, recommendation from Brian, and it was delicious.
Acknowledge me!
We might need to extend the break at about 3:45, but it was good.
He paid the price for a positive recommendation, because then you...
He did, I kind of rubbed it in a little bit.
You rubbed it in quite a bit that it was delicious and he couldn't get any.
You want a classic Branham's a Jerk 101? I didn't offer you guys a darn thing. Hey, I'm stopping by the black... I don't want to give away the name.
Yeah.
I'm stopping by this place to pick up some tacos. Do you guys want anything? No, I didn't ask.
Well, you did text me the name for it. Like, what's the name for it? Like,
I was rubbing it in before I even brought it in.
How long does it take him to get the food ready?
By the way, help me to get some, but you ain't getting any.
Yeah. It was delicious, though. You guys should try it sometime. It is officially official. That's what the reason that I was eating, I was eating so bad is because I was trying to find a little bit of comfort food. I was trying to find something that tasted good after what is bad news in the city of Houston today. It is officially official. Stephon Diggs is out for the year. D'Amico Ryan's breaking the news earlier today whenever he met with the media.
Unfortunately, he tore his ACL, so he'll be out for the year. Really hurts our team to hear that news, and he's been such an important part to our team and just everything that he bought, not only on the field but off the field, the energy, the leader, like the way he worked every single day. He brought a lot to our team, and we have to – pick up the slack. A lot of guys have to step up, pick up the slack. But, definitely praying for him to have a speedy, successful recovery. It's definitely a blow to us.
Yeah, it is a blow, no doubt about that. Now, it's our job to talk about how severe this blow is. What is the impact that this has on the Houston Texans, Blankers?
Well, I think it's significant because of the fact that we've been talking all year, and we were talking yesterday about how we haven't really seen the full complement and just maximized what this offense could be. And now you're taking away a guy that early on was a big part of the offense, and especially when Nico went down, and with us talking about Tank not getting, you know, maybe as much attention as he did a year ago. Now you remove him from, you know, the wide receiver room, and you're like, do you have enough, and are you comfortable enough with the guys that you still have, or do you need to capitalize on the fact that you still have time before the deadline next Tuesday to try and find somebody else? Because teams are making moves. We saw the Chiefs make moves. The Ravens made a move today. Everybody's kind of trying to fortify what they don't have or make their teams better. And now you still have the chance to go to that if you so desire. So I think that it is a blow to this team that needs to be addressed, because as much as Nick Caserio was in go-for-it mode this entire offseason, and he showed that with the way he was aggressive in free agency and trades, including Diggs, with Mixon, with the moves that he made, you know, with on the defensive side of the football with Hunter and Autry and Azeez El-Shaair, and now, you know, and the way that he drafted, if you are truly still in go for it mode, then I think that you have to look to the time between now and Tuesday and say, how can I not necessarily going to replace him, but how can I get someone that can help me?
I'll debate you about that in a minute. Now, okay. I am looking forward to Tuesday. Tuesday is going to be a lot of fun. We got some surprises for you on Tuesday, a week from today. It's going to be a great show. Now, it's obviously an impact. Like, Stephon Diggs is your second best receiver. There are some hot takes out there about Stephon Diggs today, which we'll get to in Cash or Trash a little bit later at 4:30. Because there's a lot of peeling of this onion that you have to peel off. What do you think it's the impact is on the Texans to win the division? Like, let's go through every single increment.
I think they'll be fine. I think they're still going to win the division. I think that regardless of whether they do anything at all or just stand pat, I think that, you know, kind of distancing yourself from the Colts and having the tiebreaker against them, that I believe that you're going to be fine for the division.
5%, 10% less likely to win the division?
Sure.
0%? I'm at 0%.
I'd say 5% max.
I'm at 0%. I do not think that the Texans lose this division. Like, even with the news today of Stephon Diggs, it does not move my needle on the Texans like not winning the AFC South. So, for me, it's 0%.
I'll say there's always a chance, yeah, but I'll say less than 5%. And I'll say that, you know, on the flip side, regardless of what's happening with the Texans, you know that their quarterback room is in shambles with Indy anyway, and now they're making a change. And I don't think that anything that screams, competitor for the Colts to get back into this thing. So I think it's a twofold proposition. I think it's the Texans' division to lose, and it's going to be a hell of a story if they lose.
5%. I'm at 0%. Brian, how many percentage points do the Texans go down from winning the division after the news today of Stephon Diggs tearing his ACL?
1%, but 1%. Just because, only be, not because of Diggs, because Joe Flacco is now the starter and the Colts got better quarterback.
You guys are weird that you're worried about Joe Flacco.
I'm not. I said 1%. But it's not because of Diggs. It's because Flacco is an infinitely better quarterback than Anthony Richardson.
All right, the Killer Bee range from 0 to 5%. How about to reach the AFC Championship game? What is the impact of Stephon Diggs tearing his ACL for the Texans reaching the AFC Championship game?
Well, I mean, I don't know what it was before in terms of their chances to get there, but I'd say it definitely decreases it by 15%.
Okay. I'm at 10% on that one because, like, where you're at and then subtracting it from where it was, I think it's a 10% decrease for the Houston Texans. Now, it might put it into negative territory, but I'm at 10% because I do think that's what the Diggs news means more than anything else, is that the aspiration and the goal to get deep into the postseason is what really takes a hit. Am I worried about the playoffs? No. Am I worried about winning the AFC South? No. But for the Texans to have this amazing deep run in the postseason, to be an AFC championship contender, to have these aspirations and thoughts that maybe you can win an AFC championship game, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in the Super Bowl. That's where I think the injury of Stephon Diggs really hurts you. I think they're going to rack up wins. I think that they're going to win the division. I think that they're going to they might even be a 2 seed in the AFC, because there's a lot of teams that have holes and weaknesses. They're currently the 2 seed if the season were to end today. But it's that deep run that I think takes the biggest blow with the Stephon Diggs news. And I don't know if you can really replicate that or recover that in the trade market.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. And I think that, like I said, I mean, especially because of some of the teams, especially in the case of the Rams, a team that we were looking at a week or so ago saying, hey, look, if they lose this game, they're probably going to be sellers. Instead, they win it. They win it in such a fashion that it looks like that they can still compete to win their own division and be a playoff team. So they're not going to be what we thought they were going to be. And they had two guys right there on that roster, but one specifically in Cooper Kupp that you thought might have been available, that might have been a guy that a lot of teams were looking at. So now the market is reduced by one there. The trade today with the Ravens getting better at wide receiver means there's another one reduced there. The guys that are going to be flashed on the market aren't going to be of the caliber. Those two guys are already gone. Hopkins was probably on the downside of his career and not what he used to be. He's a good receiver. But then when you get an Amari Cooper in another trade like the Bills did, I think that was the cream of the crop of the wide receiver market anyway.
Yeah. Like, there's other names that are out there that could become available that I don't think are star power. And, like, could they be a Diggs replacement? I don't know. I think your best chance is just to roll with what you have and then hope that you get development from the young players, which we'll get to in a second. How about a Diggs reunion? Because, look, the Texans reworked his contract, right? They made it a 1-year deal. We were wondering what's it going to look like after a year, and there was some thought that the Texans made it a year because it was kind of insurance on if Stephon Diggs, you know, became an issue, which I didn't really see of it. I think he's uber competitive. I think he really wants the ball whenever he's open, and I think that rubs people the wrong way, and I think it wears on people over time. But he's older now. He's in his 30s. He's coming off a torn ACL. The market for Stephon Diggs isn't going to be this huge market this offseason. In a weird way, I actually think that the ACL news means that it's more likely Stephon Diggs is a Houston Texan next year.
I agree. The one thing that I looked at when the news broke was the fact that the silver lining in all of this might be the fact that there is a legit chance you have him next year, because he's going to be on a prove it deal no matter what. He really likes it here. He obviously likes CJ. He likes the culture, the environment. Everybody likes him. They went out of their way to bend over backwards for him since he got here. And I think that that's something that probably has stuck with him. And if he's looking for a place where he can show his wares again, whether it be for here for a longer-term deal or somewhere else, I think this is an ideal situation because he's probably not going to be ready to start the season either. And so you can work him in slowly. It's the same system he's accustomed to from this year. And I think it makes a lot of sense on a one-year deal with some options if you want to do it that way for him to be back next year.
I think he's going to re-sign with the Texans on a one-year deal. I don't even think the options will come into play. You don't see that in football as much as you see like in baseball or other sports.
Right.
I think he's a Houston Texan. And I think today's – now, I wouldn't make this trade. If you told me, hey, you can have Stephon Diggs next year, but you only get 8 games out of Stephon Diggs in 2024, and he's going to tear his ACL after you're 6-2, or you get – you know, what you have in that 1 year without the injury. I wouldn't take the trade that I've been presented.
You keep the pick.
No, I'm talking about, you know, I'm not talking about the trade for Stephon Diggs yet. I'm saying if you told me that I have this hypothetical proposition that you can have Stephon Diggs for only 1 year, only 1 year, but he's healthy. Or you get Stephon Diggs for 6 games in 2024, and then you get him back in 2025.
Gotcha.
I'm going to take the 1 year of Stephon Diggs.
I am
so,
too.
Like, I'm not, this isn't like a silver lining thing. I'm not like, hey, look at the bright side type of thing. But I'm saying I do think that the probability of Stephon Diggs remaining with the Texans after this year does go up because of this injury.
No, I absolutely agree. Like, I don't know what, because, I mean, to your last point there about the trade off, would you take that to get him back next year? But he's a receiver in his 30s who will be another year older coming off a major injury, and ACL injuries, obviously it's not the death knell that it was a long time ago, but if for a guy that's older and playing a quick twitch position with a lot of change of direction, I don't think he necessarily comes back at 100% even when he returns to the field until he's a little bit into the season. So I would definitely rather have this year than the last year, but I don't think his market's really going to be there. He's good. Another year older, he's coming off an ACL injury. I think he does return to the Texans.
I do, too. 713-780-ESPN.
You're
going to
get him at a substantial discount, too, I think, line. Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
I think
don't,
so.
Well, based on what? Like, I don't think that, like, the discount is because of the injury. The discount isn't because, well, I mean, I do think
it's
that
both.
He loves Houston. I don't know. Like, I think that the biggest discount, maybe it is both, but I think the bigger discount is because he's coming off an injury versus I love being in Houston, which I'm not dismissing. I do think that he really likes being here, and C.J. Stroud talked today, and Diggs was telling them that it's his favorite place that he's ever played, which recency bias. But the biggest discount is because of the injury.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's almost threefold because I think, to Brian's point, he's not at this point in his career. Regardless, he wasn't going to get true wide receiver one money like, you know, the $25 to $30 million.
Even if he's healthy,
right? That's what I'm saying. So you take that into consideration. You say that he likes Houston, and then the biggest thing is indeed coming off an injury. Most teams are going to be like buyer beware. They're not going to throw, you know, big money and a big contract at him. And he would have to go into a new environment, a new system, a new playbook with a different quarterback. Instead, everything stays the same for where he was actually playing quite well. And if he's going to prove it anywhere, he would rather prove it where he's comfortable as opposed to another clean start and now coming off an injury where you don't know what he can be.
Yeah, Virginia.
I don't even know if Diggs would be looking at us to prove it, though. I mean, because what would he be, 32 next year?
Yeah, I believe that's right.
I mean, at that point, even the elite of the elite of the elite wide receivers going to the Hall of Fame, like Andre Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, where they hit that drop-off is right about 32, 33, for the most part.
Yeah.
There's always exceptions. So I don't think he's necessarily even going to look at it as a prove it, which might actually help the Texans even more as far as getting a deal for him to return to the Texans. I think he's just going to look at, do I like the quarterback? Do I like the situation? Do I like the guys I'm with? And if he does, he's going to come back.
If he didn't get hurt, I think what he's looking for in free agency is maximum a 2-year deal at the highest AAV as possible. And now that he got hurt, there's no way he's getting more than a year.
At least
guaranteed money. Maybe you give him a 2-year deal with all the guarantees in year one or any guarantee. I don't know based off an ACL injury.
Truly healthy, you're looking at when D-Hop kind of was later in his career. You know, you're looking for a couple years at marginally decent money, but it's not going to be close to the wide receiver one type money.
I mean, guess how old D-Hop is, though?
He's 33.
He's 32.
Okay.
Like,
and what's he making?
I don't know what he's making.
I think he's making 11, I think.
Okay, that's probably where
that
Diggs will be.
About right.
Yeah, I think that's
10,
the market. Yeah, I
year.
Think that's, you know, a third of what, you know, or a little less than a third.
2 years, $20 million?
Yeah.
All the guarantees in the front. 2 years gets me a little worried.
Guarantee half of it, let's say. Basically like the Joe Mixon deal, you guarantee half of it. Because Mixon got like low 20s with $12 million guaranteed.
That's still a lot of guarantee for a guy coming off an ACL at 32 years old.
If he needs that little extra to make the deal happen, I'll consider it, but I just want a one-year deal. And then, you know, if he plays his tail off and he looks good, good for him, because whether I want him back, everything was accomplished that needed to be accomplished. But I'm a little leery of putting money on a two-year deal.
And here's the other aspect of this, too, that we're not even talking about, is if Tank explodes and then John Metchie and Xavier Hutchinson are really good, or just good, like you look at them like, oh, yeah, they're easily our third and fourth receiver going into next year. Why are you rocking that boat? Why are you rocking that boat, especially with a temperamental man that would be commanding at least $10 million a year? Like, I think that the resources would probably be spent better elsewhere should somebody step up. And here was D'Amico Ryans talking earlier today, too, about, you know, how do you feel about this wide receiver room?
We like the guys we have, and our guys have been here. They've been working, understand how we do things, what we do. So we're excited to see who steps up next.
All right, so who steps up? 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line. Is it somebody external? Is it somebody else? Are there names out there that you like? 713-780-3776, the HRP listener line. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitter at ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Brian at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is the Bees on ESPN975 and ESPN925. I'm pumped up for Saturday. Houston coming off the big win over the Utes of Utah for homecoming. They're looking to keep the momentum rolling this Saturday when they take on the Kansas State Wildcats. I know a Kansas State Wildcat Hall of Famer, but that's not going to stop us, the Houston Cougars. Saturday, November 2nd, 2:30 at TDECU Stadium as the Houston Cougars host Kansas State. Blackout game two, by the way, and they have a special deal for you for the blackout game on Saturday. UHCougars.com/black. UHCougars.com/black. Go there now. Pick up a ticket and a t-shirt for just $30. Their blackout special. You get a ticket and a shirt for just $30. Great deal. Get ready for an afternoon of thrilling plays. Hard-hitting action. Unforgettable moments. Weather is going to be fantastic on Saturday afternoon, too. Nothing beats the tradition, pageantry, and the roar of the crowd at a college football game. Let's show our Cougar pride. Let's support the Houston Cougars. Come early. Stop by the Bud Light backyard tailgate area. Enjoy the food, tasty food. Enjoy a nice cold beverage in all of your favorite tailgate games. UHCougars.com/black. UHCougars.com/black for the blackout special. Ticket and a shirt for just $30. Come early. Be loud and wear black as we pack TDECU Stadium.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN. Guy I know saying Calvin Ridley, that contract is big. I don't like Calvin Ridley. That's a hard no for me on Calvin Ridley.
A four-year deal for a guy over 30.
With a horse bleep attitude.
No thanks.
Attitude. No thank you.
Bad attitude. He's not a good gambler either. And I worry. I wonder about those that aren't good gamblers. I look at you a little bit from the corner of my eye if you're not a good gambler. If you're bad at sports betting, I'm like, can I trust this guy? Is this guy a baller? Is this guy a dog? Can this guy catch passes from CJ Stroud? Is he going to disappear in the postseason? Like, if you're a bad sports bettor, I got my questions about you.
It's fair.
I think I got my questions about you. I'm out on Calvin Ridley. Adam Thielen would be one that I'd be interested in, depending on the injury. Depending
it's
on the
not
injury.
Bad.
Like, if you can get him for a seventh rounder or a late round pick swap, which, I mean, Carolina's not getting much for Adam Thielen. Yeah. I haven't seen the return on Deontay Johnson. Is it out there yet?
No, I haven't seen either.
I kept looking for it. ESPN wouldn't report that, just that the deal was done.
Like, Adam Thielen's going to be cheap. It's going to be a late round draft swap if Adam Thielen is traded.
And if you think about it, he is a poor man's version of Diggs in a lot of ways. He'll play inside. He'll play in the slot. He'll go over the middle. He's got really good hands. He's a really good route runner to where he can give you an experienced wide receiver that still has something left in the tank at literally no cost. It's like when you look at the moves the Chiefs made, you're just basically making a move. And like in the case of the move yesterday for Uche, the trade was basically set up to where what they gave, they'll get back in compensation if he signs at the end of the year with someone else in free agency. But it makes your team better this year. I would do that for Thielen.
He's under a contract next year, but for zero guarantee. So I mean, you can take get rid of him after the
I'm
year.
I'm fine with that.
I looked him up while you guys were talking. Apparently, he practiced last week in a limited fashion, so it seems like he'd be good to go for this. Well, not Thursday, but he'd be good to go for the following week.
Whenever I watch Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, I don't notice a difference at all. They look at the same exact person to me, Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. So I think it would be a good move. 713-780 ESPN on. I was saying it as an aside. I wasn't. Being a smart aleck.
They played together, right, in Minnesota?
They did. Yeah. That's one of the reasons Diggs wanted to leave. Thielen was the number. How do you know? You just asked if they played together.
No, I remember part of the reason why he wasn't getting the ball enough.
I am Edwin on YouTube. We can't have anything nice. Maybe this will force the Texans to spread the ball. There is some thought about that. Don says Texans have 0% chance to make the AFC Championship game. Come on. It's greater than zero. It might not be high, but greater than zero. Now, here was D'Amico talking about the internal options. Because, look, Xavier Hutchinson's been getting some run. He hasn't done the volume, but like he's shown some flashes. Same thing with John Mechie. Mechie had that big third down catch late in the game this Sunday where it's like, okay, there's the second rounder out of Alabama that we know and we love. Here was D'Amico talking about what he likes about those two players.
Yeah, one thing that sticks out, Hutch, Mech, I mean, all these guys, just from our last game, like just showing guys winning their one-on-one opportunities. Hutch, you know, going to the ground there, making a tough catch. Mechie finding a way to win in an off-schedule moment there in the game and come up with a big catch. That's all we ask, just win your one-on-one and make the plays that that you're supposed to make. If guys do that, like collectively as a team, we'll be just fine.
He had me into that little awkward giggle at the end because it's like, hey, does he really believe what he's saying? Like the awkward giggle throws me off a little bit there from D'Amico.
You've learned in the short period of time not to put a whole lot of stock in what D'Amico says. It's going to be the positive coach speak because the one thing is these guys doing those kind of things. And look, I really have been impressed more with Hutchinson than Mechie, but Hutchinson's made some pretty big catches and in some big moments. But it's also easier to do when you've got other guys on the field that the defense has to respect. When you're one of the focal points now because you're one of the guys that are going to be out there that are going to be relied on more heavily, do they have what it takes and are they capable of doing what at least to some degree what Steph was doing? And I think Hutchinson could. The jury's still out for me on Mechie. Yeah, he had his longest catch as a Texan with that big ball that he caught late. But overall, I still got to see more of Mechie before I feel comfortable with him. I like Woods.
Yeah. I mean, you need to see more from both because they've both done very little in their career. Of the two, which do you have the most confident in? Like, let's say the Texans don't make a trade. They just roll out what they got. Nico, you know, knock on wood, he's back for the Detroit game after serving. I'm acting like it's a suspension. After missing the fourth game coming off the IR, tank health. You know, Hutchinson healthy, Mechie healthy, Robert Woods still on this team. Let's say they just keep it internal and that you have the health. Which of those two do you have the most confidence to be the more productive receiver?
If it's just between Hutch and Mech, I'll take Hutch. I think that he's shown me enough. I still think there's a pretty high ceiling for Hutchinson. I think he can really turn into even more for this team. I think this is a great opportunity for him. And the fact that, you know, he's got decent hands and he goes in traffic and he can get it and he's athletic, he's got some size. That's, I would say him first.
Okay. I'm on the Hutchinson side too. Like of what I've seen on film, I think he's the better of the two. Now they're also different receivers. Like I think Hutchinson's better suited as your guy out wide, where I think Mechie's better suited in the slot. Now the Texans, you know, they don't put a whole lot of belief into that. They put some belief in it, but they'll move their receivers around. Like you'll see Nico in the slot. You'll see Tank out wide. In fact, Tank was out wide more last year than he was in the slot. So you see him move around, but you know, Hutchinson's more of an outside guy. Mechie's more of an inside guy. From what I've seen, I think I would take Hutchinson by a hair.
I'll be honest with you. I think the guy that's the sleeper in all of this that could still step up and be bigger than maybe both of them is Woods. I just believe that CJ has kind of a chemistry with him. There's a belief in him. He also, when he's called upon, still is able to do his job and go across the middle and make tough catches. Where I think that for as much as we were thinking that was an easy cut to make before the season started and in the offseason, he might be a guy that could actually step up right in front of both of those guys.
They do love him in the blocking game. Like they love him in the run game. He's a really good blocker. That's the biggest reason that they kept him more than likely. What do you mean?
Well, I mean, if the first thing they're going to say about him is he's a great run blocker, then like, because my concern with relying on Woods at this point is obviously as an older receiver, I haven't seen that he separates a whole lot. I think he can run your 3-5 yard slant or, you know, or something quick, but I have no faith in him getting open past 10 yards.
Was Diggs doing that? Not saying that Robert Woods is Stephon Diggs, but Robert Woods' role would be the intermediate.
I mean, now, he wasn't separating deep because that was Nico Collins' role, and I think it became Tank's role. But I saw more separation on Diggs' routes than Woods.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a better player. You're right. Yeah. Now, Woods would be the, you know, intermediate short pass guy. He's going to be on the running plays because he is a good run blocker. And I think it was more to his role at the 53-man roster. It wasn't like, oh, we don't trust this guy catching the ball. It's, okay, we have really good receivers up top. We're looking at filling in the wide receiver room. Do we keep Robert Woods or Noah Brown? And it's like, well, Noah Brown's probably the better receiver, but Robert Woods is the better blocker. He's more available, although he hadn't been this year. And he gives you the possibility, I guess we didn't know it at the time, that he can return some kicks.
I was going to say, return game.
Now, hindsight 2020, I am a little disappointed they didn't keep Noah Brown. Like, if we could do it all over again and know what we know now, yes, hindsight 2020 being this, you know, huge luxury. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have Noah Brown on this team than Steven Sims.
Oh, like, for
it
sure.
would help you so much more because of the injury. And yes, hindsight 2020, revisionist history, although we were questioning it at the time. So I would take Hutch over Mechie of those two. And you're right, Woods is going to factor in, but we're looking at the young players here. Mm-hmm. Who would you take to be more productive over the rest of the season between Hutchinson and Mechie, Brian?
You put some emphasis on that one, but to me it's easily Hutchinson. Look, they have also obviously both had very limited roles through the early part of their career, but I think we've seen more impressive big plays, more impressive difficult plays to make from Hutchinson, specifically that scramble drill that he had with Stroud last week where he went down and caught the ball. They hurried up in case he didn't catch it, but when seeing the replay, certainly I thought he did. Plus, he's a bigger body. I think he can make some of the over-the-field catches that maybe you don't, or especially contested, that I'm not sure Mechie can make, or at least hasn't shown he could make it post-Alabama, so I would easily go Hutchinson.
Mechie did make a big play in that game, too, similar to
we've seen more of them, though, from Hutch.
713-780-ESPN. Mechie or Hutchinson? Who would take the bigger step? And is that, you know, an external option that you like? Also, I had a random sort of related thought when it comes to Texans injuries, hearing this news about Stephon Diggs earlier today. 713-780-3776. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey guys, a word for Stella Rosa Wines. Stella Rosa Wines are absolutely fantastic for your next party or get together, especially if you're having people over to watch the game, maybe Thursday night before you get your weekend started early, especially if you got work on Friday. You're looking for a beverage that is an alternative to just the beer and the hard liquor that's actually really tasty, that's got alcohol in it, but not over the top alcohol to where you're going to feel a certain kind of way or you got to pace yourself. The Stella Rosa wines are fantastic. They go with just about anything you're serving, from the chips and dips to the pizza and the wings and all the things in between. And they've got a variety of different flavors that are a great mix between all natural fruit and spice that makes everything so nice. It's fantastic. And Stella Rosa wines are always served chilled. So it's a refreshing beverage to go with what you're serving with the food, so it won't bog you down while you're watching the game and rooting on whatever team you're rooting for. It's fantastic that they're available at all your local retailers, including your grocery stores, as well as your liquor stores, and they're going to upgrade all the drinks and beverages that you serve with another alternative that people are going to really enjoy. Check them out the next time you go to your grocery store or your liquor store and grab a couple bottles to serve the next time you have people over. See the fact that people are going to be impressed, they're going to enjoy, and they will be complimentary because of everything that you put on the menu. Stella Rosa wines are fantastic, so enjoy them the next time you have a party, and please celebrate responsibly.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Join Lankers and Barry. Different rendition of the Killer Bees. They'll be broadcasting live from Nick's Place on Thursday. Then the Halloween watch party for the Thursday night game. You know who's going to be there? Hall of Famer John Granato. It's presented by Coors Light. Make sure you arrive before kickoff because Granato's going to be buying Coors Light for the people that show up early. So get out there, watch Killer Bees from 3 to 6. Get some free Coors Light from Granato, Hall of Famer John Granato. And then stick around. Watch the Texans take on the New York Football Jets. J-E-T-S.
Never.
It's great
induction weekend.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's great. I think I'm doing the speech, actually. I'm inducting them in. No, I'm lying. That's not happening. I didn't get
to just throw the crowd out there.
You're going to Kilgore?
Is it in Kilgore?
I think that's where the Hall of Fame is.
I thought it was in Waco.
No, that's the Texas Sports Hall of Fame.
Oh.
Yeah, the radio Hall of Fame is in Kilgore.
Kilgore's not the junior college with the great cheerleading squad, right? That's Navarro?
Kilgore has a JC, but I don't.
I think Navarro's the cheerleader that does Netflix and all of that. A little Region 14 junior college sports.
Beats me. No idea.
I said it with a question mark. 713-780-ESPN. But get out to Nick's place for the Halloween. It's going to be fun because the Texans are going to be playing. John Granato's going to be there. Blankers will be there. Barry's going to be there. And then the Rockets play that night, too. So, like, you want to be watching your sports at a sports bar because you're going to want to be on multiple TVs.
Oh, damn, food is awesome.
That night. And the food is fantastic. I'm very, 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 very upset. I'm not kidding. Will you bring me back some leftovers for the Friday show?
Sure.
Thank you. I knew I liked you. 713-780-ESPN. Stop sending us these unrealistic receivers that you want for the Texans. Like, this is ridiculous. How about DJ Moore from Chicago? How about why would they trade DJ Moore? He's the best receiver for Caleb Williams. They're kind of in contention in the NFC. They're not trading DJ Moore. Stop with that.
No, and the thing is like, you know, I've heard people say, look at Green Bay. They've got four young wide receivers. Well, guess what that's going to cost you? A whole hell of a lot more than you're going to be wanting to give up.
Who'd you say?
The Green Bay, because they've they got all four guys. They got Wicks and Reed and Watson and Dobbs. And to get a guy like that, it's going to be way more expensive than a Thielen we were talking about in the break, who might cost you a sixth or a seventh.
Yeah, the Deontay Johnson trade was that the Ravens traded a fifth, and they got Deontay Johnson in a sixth rounder. So the price was pretty cheap on maybe the best receiver that's out on the market. So, like, keep that in mind. Like, I don't think that the price on these receivers is all that great. Like, I don't think there's marquee receivers that are available. And again, stop sending us your unrealistic receivers. 9392, Garrett Wilson. Look, I know they just traded for Devontae Adams, but Garrett Wilson's the future of the position in New York. Like, that guy is really good. They're not trading Garrett Wilson.
He probably cost you a first if they did move him.
Maybe more than one.
More than that. Yeah.
Well, I'm saying bare minimum, he's costing you a first, and the Texans aren't in the market for trading a first for a wide receiver.
Mike Williams is the guy there. Yeah. If they're going to move anybody with Adams and Garrett Wilson, pass. Mike Williams would be the guy. I'm just saying, of the Jets wide receivers, he's the guy that they would be trying to move, especially after Rodgers undressed him after the end of that one game.
If Caserio wanted Mike Williams for a seventh rounder, I'm not going to be mad at Nick Caserio for trading a seventh rounder for Mike Williams. Nick Caserio's done a lot worse things to late round draft picks. Mm-hmm. He's traded sixth and seventh rounders and has cut those men. He has cut those players less than a week after trading for them. So I don't care if he gives up a seventh rounder for Mike Williams. Not somebody to be at the top of my list, but I'm okay with that if it's a late pick, and it will be. 6974, how about Justin Jefferson? Why not why stop there? Yeah. He's being facetious after the conversation we just had because all these other texters are sending these unrealistic names. But don't stop there. If you're going to bring in Justin Jefferson, why not reunite him with his former teammate, Jamar Chase? Could you imagine Jefferson, Jamar, Nico Collins, Tank Dell as a reinforcement? I mean, dream team. It would be a dream team in Houston.
Yeah, I think you send Hutch, Mechie in like a second. I think you get Jefferson.
That gets it
done. I think that makes sense.
I mean, it's tough if they want Pierce too. You'd have to contemplate that.
I throw in Dare.
Could be a deal breaker.
Yeah, I don't think I throw in Pierce. I throw in Dare.
Pierce flopped in the end zone this past week. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. He did it like 8 seconds after it was actually touched. 5798. Do you think the Saints would part ways with Chris Olave? And if so, what would the cost be? See, I think this is one that's kind of on the brink. Like,
Saints going nowhere.
Going nowhere. They need draft cap. That's the thing. That's the big, like, they probably wouldn't. Still in his rookie contract, but they are going to have to pay him soon. They are upside down with their finances.
Exactly.
Like, Olave of all these unrealistic names would be the most realistic of the unrealistic.
I think that one, I mean, look, I would put the odds low, but of all the things we talked about, like you said, I think that could actually happen because we saw the Saints start 2-0. They've lost 6 in a row. They're clearly done this year. They don't have their quarterback in the future. They're going to hit a full rebuild, not only because of that, but because of the upside-down nature of their salary cap, like you mentioned. And Chris Olave, who's been hurt, he's had some concussion issues. He hasn't really played a whole lot for them, is going to be going into a year where they're going to have to make a financial decision for him. So I could see the Saints, if they're willing and ready to hit the full reset button, being willing to listen to trading Olave, but it's going to cost you more than the Texans would be willing to
trade. I think
it would
be at least two first-rounders. Yeah. I err on the side of I don't think they trade him.
Even if you're rebuilding, that's a guy you want to build around, that you used a high draft pick on, that you see as part of your future.
I mean, if you can get two first-rounders for him and you don't feel like you're going to next
get
3 years.
Yeah, that's – I mean, first for the Texans, that's unrealistic to think that you're going to throw that at.
And I also don't think you're seeing a splash that big at the deadline. That's probably more of an off-season move. 8410, any trade resources the Texans have need to go toward O-line and linebacker? It's a seventh-rounder. Like, it's just, like stop – like, I hate when people say that, well, you know, they only have, you know, X amount of resources. They only have this limited amount of resources. They can't use a seventh-rounder to trade for a receiver. They need a seventh-rounder for an offensive lineman. No, use your seventh rounder to go find the best thing that's going to help your team. Offensive lineman might not be available for a seventh rounder. A linebacker might not be available for a seventh rounder. You might not like any of the offensive linemen on the trade block. So if there's no one out there on the trade market that you like at those positions, why wouldn't you use your seventh rounder on a receiver? And it's a seventh rounder. Like, stop using a seventh rounder as like this huge resource.
If you could get Thielen for a hypothetically a seventh or a sixth, probably a seventh, and then you could get an offensive lineman that's a starting caliber offensive lineman that's a decent offensive lineman in this league, it probably could cost you a fifth. But it'd be worth it at this point if you think it's going to better your offensive line.
My goodness, guys, CJ can't even drop back without dying. Receiver's not the problem, what we need. But a seventh rounder isn't fixing the offensive line issue. Like, if you have the seventh rounder and all you have is the seventh rounder, you might be able to trade that for a receiver that you couldn't trade for an offensive line. Plus, the price on an offensive line would be higher than a seven. So it's two very different conversations. Should you fix the offensive line? Yes, it's a conversation worth having if it becomes available. But it's going to cost you more than a seventh rounder that it would take for one of these journeyman receivers that could help you.
And be realistic about the fact that how many seventh round picks that you're going to use and you're going to bring into this football team are going to make this football team and be as impactful as trading a seventh round pick to get someone that could actually help you this year, right now, that's going to fill a need for you when you desperately need
it. I mean, I don't think anybody's draft pick hugging a seventh rounder here. They're just saying to use that seventh rounder on a different resource. And I think that those are two very different isolated conversations. If you have an offensive lineman that can help your team, you have a wide receiver that can help your team, the offensive lineman is going to cost more than that seventh rounder you're dangling for a wide receiver. So to me, it's two very different conversations. If you trade a seventh rounder for a receiver X, that doesn't mean that you're out of the offensive line market. Like, the seventh rounder is never going to come into play for that offensive lineman.
Yeah. We're both in agreement, but like, if Cleveland was going to trade some of their offensive linemen before they won this week, if they have indeed shifted gears a little bit, but you are going to probably have to pay more because their line has been at least decent enough that if you get one of the Browns starters, it's probably going to cost you a fifth. And so you just have to, that's the price of doing business at a desperate time right before the deadline, but it could truly help you probably more than that fifth was going to help you next season.
Yeah. Here's the, a lot of people getting on the receiver and we're going to talk about on the other side. Here is the random thought that I had about today's injury, and it's sort of related because it involves the Texans and it involves injuries, but it's kind of out there, which is kind of my cup of tea. Have the Texans ever been dishonest with long-term injuries? Have they ever been dishonest with either a player who's out for the year? Because, I mean, they got the Diggs news and they told you on a Tuesday. Like, that's a pretty quick turnaround. The IR, like anytime they've placed a guy in an IR, hey, look, we're placing this guy on the IR. And plus, it's in the transactions. You can't really hide that. So have we caught the Texans at any point being dishonest about long-term injuries or IR injuries?
They're not the Astros. I don't recall them being like the Astros in terms of just how many times we've had to pick apart and scratch our temple about the mystery of their injuries. I can't really recall of the major injuries. Was Schaub's injury?
Well, see, that's a different regime. So, like, I wouldn't even count that. Because, okay, like, that's a different general manager, a different head coach. Like, I feel like you can only go under the Nick Caserio.
Okay.
At least the Nick Caserio tenure. You might be able to argue that maybe both of them.
Well, the one that I would say that they basically pulled our leg on was Kenyon Green last year. Kenyon Green last year, going into camp, we thought we were waiting to see what he was going to be. And then all of a sudden, when he got hurt, he got his doors blown off and he got hurt, that's when Caserio came out and made the comment about it wasn't an if, it was a when, that he was going to be done for the year.
But at the same time, he was playing like a day before they announced the injury.
But yet he knew that something wasn't right with him.
He still tipped his hand, though. Like, in that quote that you say, it's like, it's not an if, it's a win. He still tipped his hands like, look, at some point we're going to lose this guy.
He said it after the fact.
Oh, he said it after?
Yeah. Okay. But he was playing through it, right? So, like, he was playing through the injury.
We didn't know anything about it.
No,
but,
sure.
Yeah.
But they weren't lying or misleading us with a player who was not playing, and then all of a sudden the injury pops
in. But in essence, they were lying because they were supposed to tell us that he's not right. He's not 100%.
Yes, but I'm saying, have they ever lied about a long-term injury or
Christian
a guy?
Harris?
See, that's where I'm going with here. Because if we believe that the Texans wouldn't lie about a long-term injury, or they wouldn't lie about somebody who's done for the year, because a lot of football coaches won't give you anything injury-wise. Right. We'll see where he's at the end of the week. DeMeco certainly does that. It's day-to-day. It's week-to-week. Until when? At minimum, they're placed on the IR. Well, we're putting this on the transaction, so we have to let you guys know he's going to be on the IR. He's going to miss 4 weeks. I feel like the Texans have always told us when a player's out for the year. At least under DeMeco. Like, they told us Stephon Diggs out for the season. I'm kind of missing a few of the injuries last year. I don't really remember this happening a whole lot last year. But if we believe that the Texans are honest with guys on the IR, long-term injuries, season-ending injuries, I think it's a huge clue that Christian Harris isn't done for the year.
Okay.
Yeah, I
can see that.
There.
Yeah, I can see
there.
That. Yeah, because I think by now, with as long as this thing has lingered on, that they would have already made a decision.
I think that they would have told us, if Christian Harris was out for the year, I think they would have told us by now Christian Harris is out for the year. Because what are you really hiding? Like, what are you trying
to
gain?
No one's game planning for Christian Harris right now. There's no scheme advantage.
Yeah, and like, are you gaining, like, you can maybe make the argument, well, you don't want other teams that you could potentially be trading with to know that you're between a rock and a hard place when you're negotiating for some random linebacker. But I think that's probably a reach.
Yeah, especially since a linebacker, unless you're shopping at the very top of the market, like, the trade return on a linebacker isn't something that I'd really worry about maybe losing a little bit of value on. Because if you're trading for a depth linebacker, how much are you really giving up?
Yeah,
I'm not really worried about being held over a barrel for a depth linebacker.
I think with the way the Texans handle long-term injury or season enders during the year is an indication and a clue that Christian Harris is not done for the year. And we thought he wasn't done for the year, but there's been some, you know, rumor and innuendo. Maybe he is going to be out for the year. I don't think that they've ruled him out for the season yet. Because, like, even if you go back to the Kenyon Green thing, Kenyon Green was playing that previous weekend, mm-hmm. and then it's like, hey, he's been playing through this injury during the preseason. You're not required to submit injury reports. And then it's, what did they tell us? Well, he's done for the year. So, like, they were honest once he was done for the season. I feel like they're honest when they're done for the year. So if Christian Harris was going to be out for the remainder of the year, or they know that, he still might be. But if they knew right now that he's out for the season, I think we would already know.
Yeah, I think that's legit. Because remember, I think it was the Saints preseason game. And Green was just absolutely atrocious, got his doors blown off, and then on the final one, he started grasping at his shoulder, and then all that truth came out. But I think that they maybe thought he was going to get through part of the season. I think with Christian Harris, as much as this has been obviously puzzling and very frustrating, I think that because it's already taken, 8 weeks in, that they would already done something and basically said, if he's already 8 weeks in and he's not even any closer to being on the field, we're just going to IR him.
Yeah, I think, he's on the IR.
I mean, like the end of the season.
Yeah, I think they would tell us if he was out for the season. Apparently the Rangerettes, Kilgore, is the one that's known for their drill team.
Oh, is that right?
But I think there's one on Netflix about, isn't there a Netflix one on the cheerleaders, I thought? I don't know. I've clearly never watched it. All right, 713-780-ESPN. More people are sending us their list of names. Do any of these make sense? Do you want to kick the tires on any of these? 713-780-3776. Also, who is the weirder 6-2 team? Is it the Texans or is it the Steelers? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It is Navarro. It is Navarro. I know my random pop culture
stuff. I'm glad you're
able
to solve this for the audience, Jeremy. You know your
cheerleaders from junior colleges or whatever?
I guess I do. But it's Kilgore with the drill team, and it's Navarro with the cheerleaders, I guess.
What was the...
They're all waiting to find this information out.
Yeah, it's riveting.
Cam Newton went to JC here in Texas.
He went to Blinn.
He went to Blinn. And then where was the one that Steve Francis and...
Sam Jack,
yeah.
And it was Region 14, by the way.
Andy Pettit also Sam Jack, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Huh. Jeremy's doubting me, but I'm pretty sure. Look, as a man that grew up in Deer Park and went to Deer Park High School, if there's one thing I know, it's Andy Pettit. I'm pretty sure he went to St. Jack briefly.
He didn't get drafted out of high school?
That's what I was
Well,
thinking.
I mean, a lot of guys get drafted out of high school. They don't actually go to
okay.
the
Did he get
right
drafted
away.
And signed out of high school?
If you get drafted and your alternative is going to JC for a year?
Well, he might have got drafted out of St. Jack because you can get drafted out of a junior college and you don't have to do the 3-year rule like if you go to a D1. I do know that Pettit didn't go to a D1. So either he got drafted out of high school and signed, or Brian's right, he went to San Jack and got drafted out of San Jack. I knew a lot of guys who went to San Jack. 1219, look at that flex. I know a lot of people who went to San Jack. 1219, Cooper Kupp or Odell Beckham. Okay, Kupp, I don't think he's going to be on the market. Rams are very much in the race in the NFC West. And Odell Beckham?
Who's touching that? Who's touching him?
Why do you want Odell Beckham? Absolutely not. I want
he's gotten
nothing
hurt,
to do with
what,
him.
The last 3 or 4 years, too?
He every hasn't year, been healthy in a long
2284 said Pettit did go to San Jack.
Yeah, I just Googled it. He went to San Jack.
Somebody else said Clemens went to San Jack. Did Clemens go to San Jack and then Texas? I thought he went straight to Texas.
I got to believe
I don't
right
remember Roger going to San Jack, but that was obviously when I was super young.
Yeah, I don't... That feels off.
I only know Roger is going to Texas. I don't know if he went to
He
a
did.
Chico.
He went to San Jack in 81 and then he was recruited to Texas. You're okay. Right. My bad, Texter, for doubting you. You're the superior mind over me. I'll concede the L. I am wrong. You were right. You are the inferior being or superior being. My
if there's
bad.
One thing I know growing up in Deer Park, it's Andy Pettit trivia.
Yeah.
Don't doubt me there.
0179, Jacoby Myers, I believe, is an option that could be a realistic target. That's probably a good call. I wouldn't mind
like
Jacoby
that.
Myers.
Yeah,
I don't know his contract.
Probably,
he's in Vegas?
Yeah, he's in Vegas. He's a similar receiver type, in my opinion, to Diontae Johnson. A little less skilled than Diontae, but similar. Slot receiver, gets great separation. But I think you could get him cheaper than the Ravens got for Diontae Johnson, which was practically nothing with like a 5th-6th swap. You could probably get Jacoby for a 6th straight up.
He's under contract for the next 2 years after this one, but there's no guaranteed salary.
You sure?
That's what Over the Cap tells me.
I thought he signed a 3-year contract in Vegas. This is year two.
Over the Cap says that he's under contract for a 14.9 cap number in 25 and a 4.3 cap number in 26. But that says that the 26 one is avoidable year. Yeah. So it sounds like next year is his final year.
I remember it because they gave him like the exact, because it was almost kind of an FD.
33 for 3, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 333 because it was basically they gave, or Juju got in New England what anyway, there was a thing there with him and Juju in New England. But, yeah, it should be 3 years, like 33.
You paying him 14 Jacoby. Next year, though?
No, it says it's non-guaranteed.
Oh, okay, if you can get out of it, Scott,
I would love.
Fine.
Yeah, Jacoby would make lot of sense.
Jacoby does make some sense. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Lamont, you are in the hive with the bees. What is up?
Hey, man, I know this is going to be real unpopular, but why not just run it back with the people that you – dance with last year. You danced with last year. I know that Diggs is a big L, even though I think it was a good thing in disguise, because now we don't got to pay this dude a whole bunch of money next year. But, like, you guys are talking about receivers, so we'll be some replaceable receivers. We need to be thinking about this damn offensive line.
But, Lamont, why can't you think about both?
Well, you're right. You're right, but what I'm also saying is, I've seen what this team did last year with Diggs and Nico Collins. Nico's only going to be out for one more year, man. One more game. I'm okay with rolling with Nico, Diggs, Woods, Mitchie, and Hutchinson. But I mean, if anything, the name I haven't heard you guys talk about was Cup. How much would Cup cost?
No, we talked about him. The Rams don't look to be sellers anymore because they won that game last week and they're in the thick of it for the division.
Okay. No. But real talk, man. All thing I'm saying is, I was looking at it and I was getting all frantic, saying that we got to replace Diggs. But at the end of the day, I was like, say you could dance with what you had last year. That offensive line is more pertinent than the receivers. That's all I have, though.
Appreciate it, Lamont. I don't think that you're not making a decision of offensive line or receiver. It's not an either-or situation. It's or. Are you trading for offensive line, or are you trading for receiver? Trading for receiver does not take you out of the offensive line market. Now, trading for an offensive lineman might take you out of the receiver market. Battery Chuck on Twitch says that no one really trades offensive linemen at the deadline, at least good ones. I can't really remember a good offensive lineman being traded at the deadline. He mentioned Dwayne Brown, but that was a holdout situation. 409, Josh, anyone on the Giants worth pursuing. Someone asked about Wandale Robinson. Wandale Robinson still under his rookie deal. Like, that seems like it would be a long shot. And I wonder if they would trade Darius Slayton.
I was just about to say Slayton would be the name I'd be interested in there. He's a bigger guy that could play on the outside, which I think they kind of need more than a slot guy right now. They have more slot options to me than outside guys. So, and Slayton's had he had at least one really big game this year while Malik Nabers was out with
talent.
The concussion. Yeah. And he's had some of those through, like, kind of sprinkled, you know, two or three a year throughout his career. I Slayton for like a six, I'd be willing to do that.
To Lamont's point, though, I'm comfortable with this wide receiver room. I don't think that the Texans are desperate for a trade. I don't think they must make a trade. I am with Lamont. I'm okay with this wide receiver
room. They don't have to, but at the same time, if it doesn't cost you much and it gives you a chance to be better, that's where I would say that, you know, you consider everything.
No, you always consider everything.
But I'm saying if you could get a Thielen, if you could get some of the younger guys that you're talking about, whether it be a Slayton or, you know, somebody else, where
Jacoby
you could
Myers.
Yeah, a Myers. And you could add those guys at very minimal cost, why not?
Sure. I'm with you.
Yeah, and you could,
but I think it's a luxury, not a necessity.
Although I think they would have to clear some cap if they wanted to go for Jacoby Myers because he's 11 per year, and I think the Texans only have around 5.5.
I thought it was like 9.
Well, still, they would have to clear some room anyway. I thought I saw something from Texans cap saying they had around 5.5. So, with Jacoby making 11, that you'd have to do some work to make that fit. But I think some of these other guys were talking about, like Slayton, that would be, you could fit that in.
You were closer than me. I'm going to eat another L because people never think I admit when I'm wrong. I've already done it twice in the segment. 5'9".
5'9"? Okay.
5'9". So, it would take some maneuvering. Although, you can restructure any deal. Like, it'd be pretty simple to get done. But it is something to monitor. Other names that people texted in. Gabe Davis was a stud for Buffalo. Yeah. Kinda. But if he gave for a seventh rounder, I think he would fall into the same thing. Although Jacksonville trade within division.
Didn't he?
He also signed a new contract.
He did.
I think the injury's minor.
Okay. He got a couple of years on that deal, too.
I think he had a three-year deal.
I thought it was in that 333 type range.
I don't really want to add any salary commitment in future years.
I agree.
So I guess I'd be out on Gabe.
And I don't think Jacksonville's trading him in division.
Yeah, unless you just knocked him off their feet, which you don't really want to do, right? T. Higgins says Tyler and Conroe. I don't think T. Higgins is going to be on the market, especially this guy says Hunter Renfrow or Lady. I don't know. Renfro's a weird story, man. I don't know what the deal is with Renfrow. Like, he just doesn't want to play football or no one wants him to play football.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. It's like, it's so bizarre that if he still wanted to play and there wasn't anything else going on, he would be on someone's roster. You just got to believe.
Yeah.
Because there's lesser than teams that, especially at the start of the year with like a Bryce Young and you're trying to give him better targets, that if he's one of your receivers in the slot, you could do a lot worse. I mean, if he's got anything left in the tank and he really, you know, wants to be there, something else has got to be that we're not getting the information on.
713-780-ESPN. Who do you want as a wide receiver? You're already on this team. Let's talk about Deontay Johnson. What does this mean for the AFC? What does this mean for the Houston Texans? And the Colts, you know who ruined the Colts? The Texans. The Texans ruined the Colts. They're going nowhere as a franchise now. I'll tell you why next. maybe that's what ruined the Colts. 713-780-ESPN. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Have I told you about the greatness that is HRP lately? Human resources and payroll. If you're a business owner, you need HRP in your life. They will make your life better. And you're going to be thankful for them making your life better. Cougar owned by my colleague, Go Cougs. Chris Fisher, great people at HRP. You're going to be so happy with the people over at HRP, relationships that you'll have for a lifetime. Business owners, let HRP help you, though. That's what it's all about. Whether it's HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, they can help you with one of those things. They can help you with all of those things. No boxes with HRP. You're not reading off a menu. Doesn't matter how small the job, how big the job, HRP is going to sit you down and they're going to completely customize a plan for whatever you and your business need. You have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, maybe a lot off your plate. Well, HRP is going to find a way to help you. And the way they do it's unique. Technology meets service. Their technology is elite. Their technology is the best. Technology that you can trust. But you're going to fall in love with their service. We mentioned a few of the people over there. Their team is fantastic. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll always be talking to someone who knows you and your business needs. Of course, we use HRP here at Gal. Anytime I have an HR question, I fire off a quick email. Always get a quick response. Always so kind. Always so friendly. Very thankful we use HRP here at Gal. Give them a call right now, 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or visit them online at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
ESPN 90.
97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.